In the missions conference, still room. You know, sometimes we live in this world. Something we've been talking about in the book of Romans is that a lot of people turn Calvinistic. You know, there's still room if you can find it. If you are one of the elect, I'm thankful that's not what the song says, does it? There's still room for whosoever will come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter number 10 tonight in the book of Romans. I had a few things I wanted to make sure I updated you on. Not necessarily announcements, but they are. The first one was we had six people saved out tonight while we were out knocking doors. Praise the Lord. And then Brother Jesse has been kind of keeping me up to date with what's going on in Bible Baptist in Bartow, having a great time over there. They took some of the stuff that we used last time for fishing campaign, and they just slicked it back up and put it to work at Bible Baptist in Bartow and using that in their fall campaign, and they've seen some people come and get saved. He had not this Sunday, I believe it was the Sunday before last, he texted me, and they had a good high day of 39 for him since he's been there. And then I think 9 of them were first-time visitors, and one of them walked down and got saved. And college went over and helped them with like a fall festival they just did last night, and they said they had 13 people saved there. And so what a blessing, amen. So be in prayer for them over there. They're still getting it. I mean, they didn't go out from us because they were not of us. They went out because they're keeping on, amen. They're doing what God called them to do. And so praise the Lord for that. I want to make sure I update the church that we keep praying for him. It is prayer meeting night. So make sure if you've not been praying for them, please put them on your prayer list and beg God. They're trying to help regrow that church. They had a really good thing going there, and COVID came, and they had more people coming in cars than they did coming in the building for a long time. And then when they made the transition and stopped having the car service outside during COVID, they just stopped coming in. And as far as the same numbers, and they had a family move off, and so they're in a rebuilding phase. And you say, well, 40 people don't sound like much. Folks, when you get outside of Landmark and you go out there, 40 people is a pretty good group to get together to get going off and get going with, you know. And so same way with Keith. He let me know the other day they had a high day of like about 110. Amen. And people saved down there. And so I'm waiting to hear from him. They've also had like a fall festival, and he'll usually give me a report. So you be in prayer for them as well down there at Highlands Baptist, down there in that Lake Placid County below us. I was reminded about this dreadful thing that comes up this weekend called time change. Now, this is the one that makes people mad if they forget to set their clock back, you know, because this is supposed to be the good one where you fall back and get an extra hour of sleep. But if you don't set your clock, you'll show up here and think the rapture happened. And there won't be nobody here at church. And you'll say, Lord, you forgot me. With all that's going on in the world, you will think it's a rapture this time. So make sure you go on and follow your clocks back so that you get here right on time and there's other people in the parking lot. And you say, amen. Amen. You can only dream about it, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter number 10, I'm sure nobody would be like that. They got up here. Amen. Romans chapter number 10. We began to read the chapter last time, and we went down through some verses. I want to begin reading in verse 1, and I'm going to try to wait till I get to verse 4 before I actually make a comment, and then I'm going to try to do that in a fast way and move on to the bulk of what I want to get to, but all bets are off once I stop. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray and then get started tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for your word, how powerful it is, how it shapes and molds my life, how it just, Lord, cuts me when I need to be cut, and it comforts me when I need to be comforted. God, I pray tonight that the word of God would do the work that it needs to do in each life here. Help us, Lord, to hold on to it. This chapter is not only one that we can We seen when we got saved, God, but it's one that we show others. But it's also one that comforts our heart, realizing this is how I believed. This is where I began, and this is where I started out. I pray you'd help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I want you to see here in these first four verses, Paul is addressing, and we spent much time about his heart and his heart's desire. Much is said in this chapter about the heart. He begins talking about his own heart because he's going to talk about it's going to be the heart in which man has to believe unto righteousness. It's the heart that man puts and believes in Jesus Christ, and it's counted to him for righteousness. What's being said here, and I don't want you to miss this, one of the things that people who believe in working their way to heaven or keeping the law believe, they don't understand. They think when it comes to verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law, they miss the statement. They think that Christ, when he died on the cross, just threw the law away. And we've been telling you over and over again, thou shalt not kill still stands. All the thou shalts are still in the Bible. You ought not do those things. Amen? All right, so you gotta hold on to that. But what he's saying is that what truly ended when Christ died and became the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, when he fulfilled that position, there was no more need for a lamb to be sacrificed to make a man righteous. Year after year, they needed not to take a lamb because the lamb that was slain once for all had been slain and had taken the place. So the law for righteousness had been taken away. All right? Everyone, every lamb of the past pictured the one that would come. The blood of a lamb didn't do anything but postpone for another year and make them righteous because they were obedient to believe and practice that there was a Messiah coming. The blood of the Lamb didn't do anything for their sins. It only pictured what Jesus was going to do. And because they were obedient to the Old Testament law of sacrifice, it was counted to them for righteousness. I want you to see it. I want you to understand this. Moses is mentioned in verse 5 because they were sacrificing lambs all the way back in the garden. Hebrews chapter 11, look at it with me. It's important that we understand a little bit about what we believe, or else we'll start throwing off the law, and then we'll have people telling us things, and we will not rightly divide the scripture for others, and we'll cause them to stumble. Even though we understand salvation, we don't understand how to tell them how to rightly divide this verse. And they're saying, oh, you think we just threw the law away? No, we didn't throw the law away. But it was the end of the law of righteousness. Okay? I want you to see in Hebrews, if I can get there. Say, preacher, didn't you mark it? I thought I did. Hebrews chapter 11. It just took me a long time to find what I marked. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being yet dead, yet speaketh. I want you to understand some core things that are seen here. Abel never lived to the place where he saw Jesus Christ, but he believed he was coming. He was already prophesied back in Genesis 3:15. And he knew, and you say, I don't believe he knew that. I'm telling you, he knew that God said to do this every year to picture what is going to happen, and what he knew this is what he needed to do to be made righteous before God. So he did that which we was asked to do in the sacrifice. And who witnessed it or witnessed and counted it for righteousness? God. You know, the same person that stood up and said, I count that for the righteousness of the whole world, was God. When Jesus walked into the tabernacle, not made with hands, and made a sacrifice once for all, it was God who had to accept that sacrifice just like he did Abel's. Now, because Abel did that for himself, because it was just a little lamb that he had grown up, and he was obedient to God, it was only good for Abel. Wasn't good for Cain. Cain brought the watermelon. I broke many a watermelon. I sacrificed a bunch of them on the trailer while I was throwing them when I was a boy. Not one of them ever got me saved. They got me refreshed sometimes. Sometimes they got me yelled at by the boss. You drop another one, you're paying for it. Right? But a watermelon, it ain't a good picture. God didn't count that as righteousness for Cain. He said, if you do right, won't I judge the same way for you? God's the righteous judge. Sometimes when we think God is the righteous judge, we just think he's going to bring the hammer down on us. God's waiting for you to do what he asks you to do so he can say righteous. Righteous. He wants you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where the chapter's building to. And it's where Paul started. My heart's desire and my prayer for Israel is that everybody, every person, every Jew would believe, would trust, would be made righteous in the eyes of God. Look what he says in Romans again. We go back there. He says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. So he tries to help us understand what the Jews are thinking. He said, because they got hung up on Moses. Okay, they always would choke on Moses. That's why God hid his body. For Moses described as the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, but the righteousness which is of faith. You see, that butt is crossing the street. He's saying these two things, what Moses did in the righteousness in the law, his righteousness ain't what I'm talking about by faith. You doing this and just doing it and doing it, listen, you could sacrifice as many chickens as you want. You can sacrifice as many lambs as you want. God had a time period where that was what he said, that's what I want. But once Jesus came, that ended. And now you've got to accept the lamb that was slain for you. And so this is what he's transitioning to and trying to drive to, because he's going to talk about they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They're stuck on Moses. They're hung up on this one point. You ever talk to somebody that can't get past this one thing? You ever heard of circular reasoning? You know how much religion in the world is hung up on circular reasoning? They start off on a wrong point and they just keep swiveling on it. They can't get away from it. They can't ever really get to the truth because they can't get off of the circular reasoning that started their whole equation. And the Jews are part of it. And he explains it this way because they hold on to this righteousness of the law that Moses explained. He says, but the righteousness in verse 6, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He goes on, and Paul is trying to explain to the Romans. He goes back to Deuteronomy and quotes what Moses wrote and say, that's not what Moses said. He disproves what they believe is what they're holding to for salvation. And he goes Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and says this is what he was talking about. This is the righteousness. And he said, it's always nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And then he goes on in verse number 9, a very popular verse. I could hang up there, and I almost was going to take you back to Deuteronomy, but I would never get past that tonight. I would get hung right up in there. I would drop this thing and low. And there wouldn't be much go-go on through the chapter tonight. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, this is the word that's nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, we have told so many people, it's a text verse for how someone is to get saved. I can't tell you how many people I've taken to this verse throughout my life. I can't tell you how many times. I can tell you about the night that I fell on the altar and I turned the pages and said, read this one. Because I didn't want to ever do it wrong. I wanted to make sure that night I walked away from there with I know that I know that I know salvation. I said, read this one. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Folks, I don't know about you. I've witnessed some people who were not willing to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. And I've looked at them and said, you are not ready to get saved then. Confession isn't just good for the soul. It is necessary for a soul to get saved. Now, let me qualify my statement because we're not talking about a Catholic confessional booth. We're not talking somebody rearing back and repenting and confessing all their sins. Confession means that somebody has come to the belief that Jesus is the very Son of Almighty God, that he is God himself incarnate, and that he left heaven and came to earth and died on a cross and rose again on the third day. That is the confession that every man, woman, boy, and child needs to be able to make to be able to accept that Jesus as their Savior. The problem is we live in a day where there ain't no confession anymore. And as long as they name the name of Jesus, not Christ, and then they can preach what they want. There's a plethora of people that believe he was a good prophet, but not Jesus, God's Son, 100% man, 100% God. We've been over this. You say, preacher, I'm tracking with you. Are you? Because when you're witnessing to somebody, you know, when you really want to know whether they believe like you do, ask them to confess who Jesus is to them. You can tell a lot of things. They can say, I prayed a prayer. Well, who'd you pray it to? Jesus who? Remind me who Jesus is. Sometimes we get so deep in our 1, 2, 3 steps when we're witnessing to people and we go, you know, maybe they just don't know the terminology. It is hard to be saved and not know the terminology of who Jesus is. The Son of God, the only begotten, came to earth and died for my sin and rose again in victory. Amen. Now, I won't question them if they don't come up with, and he came up with the keys to death and hell. I like to finish it with that. Now, not everybody does that, right? But that's my confession. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, it's important that we know who it is. And it doesn't hurt. I'm going to be honest with you. Say, well, they can pray it to themselves. Because sometimes we make this about the prayer. The confession, that prayer is the confession. All right? I don't make none of you mad tonight. But it don't bother me when I preach the Bible. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is a balance between what I believe and what I'll confess. What's in here coming out here? It's hard to get it to the place. There's a lot of people that say you can say it on the inside. Now, I'm not going to cross hairs and tell you you can't pray that way. Nobody, I don't believe you got to, you know, you got to say it, scream it from a mountaintop. But I believe, you know, even if you prayed it in the pew when you walked to the front, you ought to be able to tell people you accepted Christ. If you truly believed with all your heart. There's a bunch of folks walking around with half-hearted salvation. There's a bunch of people that'll tell you they're Christian, but they don't look like it because they probably can't make a confession of who he really is. They know who Jesus is, but they can't confess him. And you say, preacher, you're meddling. I'm not meddling. I'm trying to make sure you understand that somebody that wants to really get saved will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It's not hard to get saved. When somebody's ready to get saved, they're ready to accept the Jesus that you just preached about. You just told them about. You just shared with them. They're going to pass from death into life because of what he did. You know, we're not like others where they say, you know, Jesus is saying, come die for me. It shakes this world, this weird world we live in, even today, with someone who has never heard the gospel story hears that God's son left heaven and died for them to pay their sin debt, to bring them back to God. Folks, it changes the world. You've got to be taught. You've got to be hardened and seared by the world for that not to cut you deep and for you not to be able to take that on the inside and go, God did that for me. Jesus did that for me. You've got to be polarized by other things and lies against that gospel, not to take it to heart. And we live in that day and age. But there's still some little kids, and they're precious. And sometimes we think, man, it's such a terrible world. Listen, compared to some of the world where they've been taught lies, I'd rather get them green. When you say, have you accepted Jesus? And they say, who's Jesus? And sometimes I used to think that was just a terrible thing, that they didn't know nothing about him. But I think it's better now because they don't have any bias. They don't have any preconceived ideas. I'm teaching through the book of Acts again. Do you know what? When you said, have you accepted Jesus in the first century of Acts? They said, Jesus who? Who are you talking about? And when you started preaching, the son of David, the son of God, the one that was prophesied all the way through, man, I'm telling you, people started, the light bulbs started coming on. Oh, that Jesus. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, it's something. Sometimes we take for granted just how good this book is. Look at verse 10. For what with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I don't understand sometimes when people say, I don't understand the process of salvation. Because God had Paul pen it down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what happens when you get saved? All right. All of salvation has already been paid for. If we were going to talk about that, we'd go to Ephesians chapter 1. God before the foundation of the world, Jesus shed his blood that you might be able to have your sin covered with it. And the Holy Spirit is waiting to seal you. And your part is in verse 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth makes confession unto salvation. You say, well, confession makes me feel like I've done something wrong. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. Confession is in order. And he don't ask you to confess who you are because he knew it. He wants you to tell him that you know who he is. You see, when you're dealing with a whole race of sinners and you died to redeem them all, you don't need to know who they are. You had to know it when you went to Calvary and laid down your life. I paid for this one, and I paid for this one, and I paid for this one, and he knew you by name. What he wants to desperately know is for you to say, I call upon you, Jesus, God's son. 100% God, 100% man. You say you pray it like that? Sometimes, right? Jesus, the Son of God, the one who came from heaven and died on the cross and rose again for me so I could be saved. Say, preacher, it's simple. It is simple. But we don't need to be skipping what the Bible says we ought to do with them. Don't 1, 2, 3 people pass getting saved. Take them to a place where their heart is changed. And they believe and trust and confess who they're trusting in. It's simple. It's really that simple, folks. I'm not trying to make it harder than it is. But sometimes we try to take people around the things that make them uncomfortable. And it's not that this is all that hard. It's just exactly what Jesus said you must do to be saved. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, we conveniently skip around that one when we're one of them, don't we? I'm going to be honest with you. If a person won't pray out loud with me, I will read them that verse. You say, preacher, why you got to hear it? God can hear it. Because the Bible didn't say you can confess it with your mind. You can confess it with your head. The Bible says you confess it with your mouth. Now, if you're in here tonight and you prayed in your head, don't you dare leave here wondering if you're saved. Do you know whom you believed? Are you persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him? Tonight, I'm just trying to help you. It's helpful for people to do it God's way. Now, who is the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So it's good for them to confess him. Don't get hung up and say, well, the preacher said if they don't pray out loud, they don't get saved. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is the Bible is very clear that if a person is believing in Jesus, they ought to be willing to confess who he is with their mouth. And they shouldn't be ashamed. That's what the Bible says. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth. Now, there are people I have witnessed to who are ashamed to pray in front of people to Jesus Christ to be saved. They would like to make it. Now, there's a difference. I'm going to try to help you tonight. There's a difference with somebody when you're witnessing. I've been to the jail ministry. And I've heard men say, who wants to go to heaven? Well, who's not going to raise their hand in the place? And wouldn't it be great that the only thing they had to accept was heaven over hell? But you get heaven and avert hell because you accept and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You don't get heaven because you accept it over hell. Who's making that choice? I've met around some people that say, I'm just going to go there. I say, that's a bad choice. Are you sure you're wired up right? Can I tell you about the place you've decided to go to? Because I think you've been given some misinformation. I think you think you're going to go there and party, and that's not the place that it is. The Bible says it's a place with fire, where the worm dieth not. Now, there's whether that is a worm crawling all over you or an idea going over and over again in your mind of when you heard the gospel going round and round in your mind, who would want to have Brother Doug's witnessing at the door going over and over and over again in your mind for eternity? No, sir. I will accept heaven, right? No, you accept Jesus to be saved. Sometimes if we're not careful, folks, we think we want them to go to heaven so bad. We'll talk more about heaven than the person that can get them there. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, the place of heaven, but by him, but by Jesus Christ. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There's so many people that use this verse and they take it way out of context. that make it mean everything under the sun. The context is strictly salvation. The context is strictly salvation. Do you think the Bible would tell you there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek when Jesus or God is the one who divided a nation so that they were different and brought his son into the world so that it came from a miracle nation? If there was no absolute difference between the two, there's a difference. Today in the news, the world realizes there is a difference. If we're not careful, America, if we don't as Americans start getting on the phone and writing letters and sending emails to everybody in office, we will be one, we won't be the last one to hold out. The UN just called a vote, what, like three went along? The only powerful nation that went with them, with Israel, was us. Two third world nations went with them, with us. Okay? And I'm telling you right now, it's about 50-50 in Washington. And if it wasn't, listen, I'm telling you right now, the only reason that Biden ain't flipped a switch on it is because God holds the hand of the king, the heart of the king in his hand. And you can't tell me that that joker really wants to go with Israel. I believe he don't even know why he's doing it. He don't even know what's going on. He don't know why he keeps saying that. He don't know why he can't read what's on the teleprompter. And but we understand that. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a day that everybody... We always try to look for America in prophecy. When God finally takes us out, we, like every other nation on planet Earth, will line up against Israel. That's not because I want it to happen. That's because the Bible has already predicted it to happen. And the only thing that stays those things is the hand of God and the salt and light that exists in our nation that knows the truth. And you know what happens in Washington? Whoever screams the loudest and kicks their feet and acts like the brat in the back room is the one that gets their way. And if we listen, if there was anything worthy of kicking your feet and throwing a fit over, listen, and even if you were thinking, what could I do for God? Israel's the apple of God's eye. You truly want to be blessed? Send an email or call a senator. You truly want God's blessing on your life and see something? I mean, instant things. Listen, you could do a lot of stuff in this New Testament age, but I guarantee you one that will get you some heavenly blessings will side with Israel. And just out of the blue say, I'm with Israel. Write letters. I've not been political before today. But you picked a wrong nation to mess with. You're getting about to get on the wrong side of this thing. Listen, there's so many people in this room, I've heard you talk about all kinds of things, all kinds of how the money is devalued. I mean, we could go down the list of all the problems that our nation has. The one shining light has always been about our nation as we stood where we ought to stand with Israel. And I really believe we're on slippery sand right now with that. And listen, it don't matter. It don't matter what the economy looks like if we leave Israel. It don't matter how much gas we got at the pump if we leave Israel. Okay? If God don't snatch us out as a church immediately when we switch sides on Israel, you better buckle up, Buttercup. Every time, and I've said it in a message and I'll say it again, every time we've taken any kind of stand or asked Israel to give up land or done anything that was contrary to the will of God for Israel, God has always sent a natural disaster to our country. You can look throughout history and mark every massive natural disaster that has happened to our country is when we were wrong with Israel. And if you think God has changed, you got another thing coming. If he has got a record throughout our 200 and some years of history, and we could mark it down and watch it happen, when we stand with him, we're blessed. When we step away or do something crazy or say, give up the Gaza Strip. How did that work for him? It didn't work good for us when it happened, and it didn't work good for them now. And that was by the pressuring of conservatives. Folks, you say, preacher, what? I'm just saying, there's a difference. And God knows it. You know it. But the blessing is, there's no difference in salvation. God didn't come up with a way to save the Jews and a way to save the Gentiles. Jesus Christ was always a light to lighten the whole world. He was always going to be the way for every man. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, he boils all this down. The whole chapter starts off, boy, I wish Israel would be saved. My heart's desire and my prayer for Israel. Hey, folks, you know, there's so many people that have told me since I was a boy, I remember, pray for peace of Israel. If you really wanted to get on board and pray for the will of God for Israel, would be not peace. Because if you've read the book, you know that's ludicrous. You'd pray for them to be saved. Your heart's desire would be that God would save Israel. And you'd pray for them. Because peace isn't something God's going to give them until he comes and makes peace. Until he rules the world with a rod of iron. Now, there'll be a false peace. It's going to come. It's coming by somebody that they think will be the Christ. An antichrist that'll show up and cry, peace, peace. And he'll make it. But then, listen, I don't know about you, but I mean, sometimes on Sunday morning, I feel like I'm preaching to the home crowd. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be jubilation in Israel. They're going to think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. They're going to rebuild their temple. They're going to think, man, our Messiah has come. He's going to let us build the temple, and we're going to put it back together, and everything's going to be good. Oh, he'll let them build their temple so he can sacrifice to himself. Not to God. Folks, I'm telling you, and then, in that place, listen, you know what they're going to realize that day? This ain't who we thought he was. They're going to start running for the hills, hiding out in rocks. Terrible, terrible time. Folks, we live in the last days. And the message here that Paul said, I wish I could give it to Israel. We need to give it to every man that'll listen. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. We just had a great campaign. Amen. But we never need to stop. We never need to slow down. Do you know the person that wrote this book was looking for the return of the Lord? Now, he didn't have all the signs we had. Israel hadn't become a nation again. And then every other nation, it seemingly, and it's dwindling down. Listen, I don't remember a time the nation that gave them their land back is standing against them. I never believed that I would see a day that Great Britain would take sides against us and Israel. Make no mistake, folks. To stand with Palestine and Iran and every other Muslim country, and for us to stand with Israel means we're enemies with the rest of the world. I mean, that's what it comes to. This ain't like some poll that you take on CNN. This is for real life. This is how wars happen. And we're coming to that place. You say, preacher, what should I do? Tell everybody you know. Because it's so close right now. Tonight, I sat in my office for a few moments, and I heard the teenagers rustling out, head to the bus. And I thought, Lord, will it be tonight? Will this be my last shot? I mean, tonight I'm preparing, I'm getting ready to teach. Will one of these teenagers win the last soul? That needs to be won, and the trumpet will sound, and we'll be called out of here. Folks, we go through our lives and we go through every day, and listen, every opportunity, every person we pass, that's really all that's holding Jesus back, is the last soul. We can see it all in the news and we can see it all around us, but the witnessing, it's so important because we're not waiting for some sign to fall from heaven. They've showed up. If I could tell you as a preacher, I believe we're deeper than I ever thought we would go before Jesus would take us home. So he's coming. And that shouldn't scare you. That should excite you. That should comfort your soul. But if you're here tonight and you don't know him, you've never called upon his name, then it might upset you. Because you'd think, boy, I would miss heaven. Listen, it's not heaven that you need to be worried about. It need to worry, what are you doing with Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him as your Savior tonight? If you have, praise the Lord. Tell somebody else about the one you confess. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I would be remiss to let you leave without having an opportunity to receive him. Would you stand to your feet as heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Musicians make their way. If you're here tonight and you want to pray for Israel, if you're here tonight and you want to pray for our nation, that we would make a right decision and stand on the right side with God's people. As God's people, we need to pray our church will stay faithful. Through the trying times that look like they're ahead, we need to be faithful to the Lord and be a witness. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, if you're here and you need to be saved, would you meet me in the front? I'll take a Bible and we'll show you how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt for a Bible reason that Jesus is your Savior.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Turning back, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ, folks have come. Maybe you need to step out and come tonight. We want to give you an opportunity to be saved. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, if you're here and you don't know that heaven would be your home because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then why don't you step out and come as Brother Jeremiah sings.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen. No turning back. Amen. It's heaven to gain. Amen. That's where we're at. Let's pray for our country that will stand where we ought to. We are in perilous times, but Israel is pressing on right now. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for we'll stand where we ought to, and we need to pray for our families. Amen. And let me just give you this testimony. 20-some years ago, what more than that, my wife taught somebody just today in the town, walking through Publix, getting some flowers. Somebody says, I know you. And the first thing my wife did when we came, I went to Bible college, she taught in three. And that lady, she taught 1 year. And a girl that's in a junior in college was in Publix. Her mom remembered my wife being the in three teacher. She said, you know what? I need to come to, my wife told her, my husband's the pastor over there now. What? She said, I'm going to have to hear one of your sermons. We exchange numbers. You say, preacher, you never know where God's going to open a door. You can just be doing exactly what God's got for you to do that day and just be praying that God will give you opportunity. And sometimes they'll come looking for you. And they'll go, hey, you. She didn't get my wife's name right. Okay? But she knew her. Folks, I'm here to tell you there are people that are looking for somebody that'll just be plain and share the gospel, invite them to church. So why don't you look back this week? Amen. It might be the last time they get a chance to see Jesus before he returns. Amen. For his church. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for the opportunities that were afforded us today to share the gospel with our teenagers and even in Bartow, Lord. And we see that people are being saved. And Lord, help us to be faithful. We see that you're so close to coming back. Help us not miss a day of being faithful till you come. Help us, give us safety. Help us to have a great day of school. Help the choir to practice and as prepare for Saturday. But Lord, help us to be faithful until the last day. In Jesus' name, amen.